United Daily Nation, South Park, Apostolic Shadow Chain, current edition of Isaiah 12,000, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 28, 2017, or CBS 11, 2021. We will start our first edition of today's song entitled, Where We'll Never Grow Old. I have heard of a land on the faraway strand, to the beautiful home of the soul, built by Yahshua on high, it will never shall die, till the land where will never grow old, never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old, never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old, in that beautiful home where we'll never more roam, we shall be in the sweet by and by. Happy praise to their King, to eternity sing, is a life where we'll never grow old, never grow old, never. In a land where we'll never grow old, never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old. When our work here is done, and the Lord where is one, and our troubles and trials are o'er, all our sorrows will end, and our voices will blend with the loved ones who've gone home before. Never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old, never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old.
Holy One, Part 5, let us now pick up Isaiah chapter 11 and see where we left off the last time. I think we did chapter 10, Isaiah chapter 10. Let us now begin verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of the Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh. Now, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 gives us a type here. Isaiah 11 is our antitype. And so now, let's read the type. It says in Matthew 3, let's start with verse 13. Then cometh Yahshua from Galilee unto Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou unto me? And Yahshua answered and said unto him, I suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Yahshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of the Yahweh descending like a dove, lighting upon him. So now Yahshua had his eyes open. He saw the Spirit of the Yahweh like a dove, in the form of a dove. Okay, and lo, a voice from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So what is that telling us? That the Yahweh the Father will again send his Son in the form of a message unto his people here in the last days. And that's the reason why he raises up prophets, and he raised up Isaiah back then to give the prophecy for the antitype of what we just read here in Matthew 3:16-17. And I'm going to read that verse 16 and 17 again, and I'm going to give you the prophecy from Isaiah once again and make the application. And Yahshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened. H-E-A-V-E-N-S has an S on heaven. It didn't say the heaven in the size of the north. It says the heavens were opened unto him. Well, there are 12 heavens in this solar system. And I just believe that this is what Yahweh was talking about, or the Spirit is talking about, when it says that, lo, the heavens were open. In other words, the voice came from beyond the 12 heavens of this solar system. It came from up above, beyond that even. It says, "Were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Yahweh descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven," I'll put the article, "from the heaven," singular, "saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Alright, now let's go to Isaiah 11. Let's read verse 1 and 2 again. "And there came forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse." Okay, and "a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh." Alright, now what is this talking about? It says a rod is going to come out of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. In our day, that would translate into Seventh-day Adventists for representing Jesse. And the rod, being the shepherd rod, V.T. Hall of 1930, coming out of Jesse, the Adventist church, would represent then David, the rod, in the form of a message. Okay. "And a branch shall grow out of his roots." Well, when the rod period ended in 1970, then we had the Isaac branch period connected up to the rod, the closing of the rod period, and by Brother W. Johnson, and he was given the Isaac branch message. Okay, now it was a message, or it was the message of the branch given to Brother W. Johnson as the firstborn of Isaac. Okay, so now it says, and the Spirit of the Yahweh shall rest upon him. Okay, so now Brother Johnson, he had the first branch message in our day given to him, 1970. So then it says, "And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him," and it did, because he had his eyes open. Yahweh gave him the direction how to calculate a creation calendar according to the astronomical calculation of the sun, the moon, the stars, and the heaven. And that was the Spirit that rested upon Brutus to do that. It says, the Spirit of wisdom. So he had the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. So Yahweh gave Brutus Johnson the firstborn, he gave him the first opportunity to make good. Okay, on this branch message. This branch message has to be performed in these last days. Okay? So, Brother Johnson was given the first opportunity to perform this branch message. He said, the spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh. All this was given unto Brother W. Johnson. So, it says in verse 3 of Isaiah 11, And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor. This Yahweh places his man over his congregation, over his flock, and he makes him a shepherd. Well, that shepherd gets the same of identification of a prophet, priest, and a king. Priest simply means a minister, pastor in our day. So he gets the identification of an inspired, and he has to judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. Okay? He's only supposed to judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. So this is talking about the first servant that was given this message of the branch, Brother Johnson. It says, he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And when it says he shall, this is a future tense. And with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, this is a commission now given to this man that has the branch message. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So it says, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now, after this is over with, the one that fulfills this prophecy, the one that fulfills it, is the one that brings to an end the judgment of the dead and starts the judgment of the living. For the wolf is going to dwell with the lamb after the purification of the church and the harvest of the 144,000. This is when he makes a covenant of peace with the animals as well, and we all dwell together. So this takes place in the 12th hour. Brother Johnson was this one given the commission in the 11th hour, and I just described to you everything that he was supposed to fulfill from Isaiah 11, verse 1 through 5. And the fifth verse was, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Well, we know that this man that was supposed to fulfill all this, we know he didn't do it. But he was given the first opportunity. And so 2002, that shall come, he took the reins in his own hands. 1970, he placed the reins in Verlis's hands, and he let him have the reins for 33 years. The same time period Yahshua lived on this earth was 33 and a half years. That's the same time period given to the branch message that was represented Yahshua again in the antitype on this earth by Brother Johnson. So, when Brother Johnson, 33 and a half years, is up, representing the time period in the antitype of Yahshua's life on this earth, in the type, then Yahshua come and took the reins then from him and took them in his own hands, and now Yahshua is going to repeat those 33 and a half years in the form of a parable that gives you 3 and a half years. or 42 months. Isaiah 11 says, a lamb shall grow out of his, a wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Okay, see, and the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the wind child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. It shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yeshua, as the waters cover the sea. Or the knowledge of the Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Now, okay, here it is. Isaiah's projection, in that day, in the last days, in the end of time, in the 12th hour, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Okay, now Jesse represents the Seventh-day Adventist Church proper. So who is this root of Jesse? This is David in the 12th hour. This is when this root of Jesse came forth. The rod of David that matured and budded and finally bore fruit, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Unto it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glory. Now do you understand why V.T. Hardiff could not bring forth 144,000 like he prophesied in 1950? Because he wasn't this root of Jesse. He wasn't a root of Jesse. Okay. And he thought he was. Verse 11, Isaiah 11, 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yeshua shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. You see that second time? Antitype, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patras and from Cush and from Elam, from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. So after he gets through cutting off the wicked, getting rid of them, judging them, getting them out of the way, then this is going to take place. Verse 12, Isaiah 11, 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations. Okay. He shall set up an ensign for the nations. And shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So what's he going to do? He shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel. Going to assemble the outcast of Israel. That's your remnant. That's your residue in all nations. And gather together the dispersed of Judah. He's going to say, in addition to gathering the outcast of Israel, he's going to gather together the dispersed of Judah, the lawgiver. Okay? From the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. And they shall fly upon the shoulders of Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom, and Moab and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven stream, and make the men go over dry shod. So, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he camped out of the land of Egypt. Now, I have something very interesting to bring up again. And that's in Isaiah 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Okay. It's set the time that the and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. This is this is antitypical David. And faithfulness the girdle of his reins. What does that mean, faithfulness? It means that when David appears in the last days, in the Antichrist, he lays a hold of the truth, and even though he may fall along the way somewhere, like David did in the top, he stays faithful, though, to his calling and his anointing, and he repents and returns and makes good. And that's what it says, faithfulness is the girdle of his reins. Alright. Now, after it gets to showing where the one that fulfills this here, establishing this ensign, then the nations that are going to be judged after this peaceful kingdom is set up, covenant has been made with the animals and the kingdom. And then he's going to, it says in verse 12, he's going to set an ensign for the nation, and he's going to assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. After he makes peace with the kingdom is at peace, he's using the kingdom to get together this dispersed of the earth. That brings us to the end of Isaiah chapter 11. Let us continue now with Isaiah chapter 12. It says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Yahweh, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, Yahweh is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Yeshua Messiah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, now let's go to Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Yahweh, and spake, saying, I will sing unto Yahweh, for he hath triumphed gloriously, for the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. For the Yahweh is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my Elohim, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's Yahweh, and I will exalt him. For the Yahweh is a man of war. The Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. For the right hand of the Yahweh, now the right hand of the Yahweh is his son, and that's Yahshua, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Yahweh, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. So who actually dashed in pieces the enemy? It was Yahshua, that rock that followed them out of Egypt, the son of Yahweh. But it's the power of Yahweh that directs his son to be able to do, which is his right hand. And in the greatness, Exodus 15, verse 7, and in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Alright, that's clear on down to the end of time. Yahweh overthrew the General Conference when they rejected Jones and Wagner in 18 and caused that most of the evidence reject the message in 1898-1890. He overthrew them, gave them 40 years spiritual fast without any power, any influence to teach a new message or a false message. And then in 1930 is when he raised up a new messenger, V.T. Hollis, and he overthrew the Seventh-day Adventists there in 1930, by changing of the guard, raising up a new prophet with inspiration, That is always the most powerful one in charge of the candlestick. And kind of Yahweh raised up a new prophet, put him in charge of the written word. Okay? So the same thing here. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Alright? Same thing in 2002. We had the prophet end up throwing over the truth, rebelling and apostatizing, and he rose up against Yahweh, and he told Yahweh that, I will not accept your son that you sent to me, and I will not accept anybody he appoints over me. So, it says, Yahweh, Yahshua is the right hand of Yahweh the Father, so he overthrew this lawful servant in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. And the antidote, thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. So he consumed Ben Roden's camp, literally with fire in 1993. The end of the rod period that wouldn't allow the rod to come to its end in 1970, they carried it on, the rodents. And so their camp that they carried on, it ended up in stubble. I mean, literally burnt to the ground and all the inhabitants killed that lived there. So these are true sayings in the Bible. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the flood stood upright as in heat, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. What are they saying today in our government? The enemy are your Democrats in our government today. They're fighting against Republicans that are in power. And they keep saying, we will overcome. We will overtake. We will succeed. We will divide the spoil among ourselves yet. Well, that's the same thing they say in the Adventist Church. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword and my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty water. Who is like unto thee, O Yahweh, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou and thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength and unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take a hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. All right, who is the inhabitants of Canaan here today? All the inhabitants of the Seventh-day Adventist Church scattered all over the world. That represents Canaan today, are going to melt away. Now that is, the terrors that is, 144,000 are going to stay put, they're going to come forth as first fruits, purified and refined as gold trodden at heart. And then they're going to go get their brethren from all the nations and the islands of the sea, and they're going to bring them to this holy mountain. But all the inhabitants, the wicked, are going to melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Yahweh, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Now thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance in the place, O Yahweh, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Yahweh, which thy hands have established. Yahweh shall reign over, shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Well, actually, this is talking about his son, his right hand. So when we're saying the Lord, upper and lower case, we're actually talking about the right hand of Yahweh the Father. He's reigning through His Son. Now this is a new concept that we're adapting and picking up on. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Yahweh brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye unto Yahweh, for he hath triumphed gloriously, for the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto Yahweh. And Yahweh showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of Yahweh the Elohim, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear unto his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptian, for I am the Yahweh that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Okay, that's the end of Exodus chapter 15. Let's get back now to Isaiah chapter 12. We're in verse 3. "Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation." Okay. So, we just read there in Exodus chapter 15, where when they came to Marah, they could not drink of verse 23, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it is called Marah. Also the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Yahweh the Elohim, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Yahweh that healeth thee." Okay? Same thing today. He's made the water sweet, and this is where we're drawing with joy we shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall, this is in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4, "And in that day shall you say, Praise Yahweh, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Yahweh, for he hath done excellent things, this is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. This is the right hand of Yahweh the Father, the Holy One in Israel, his Son, Yahshua the Messiah." End of Isaiah chapter 12. Only 6 verses there. Let's go now on into 13, verse 1. "For the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see, lift ye up a banner up on the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles, and bring, and I have commanded my son's sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountain, like as of a great mount of people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together, for the Yahshua the host musters the host of the battle." This is his right hand. Yahshua of hosts is the right hand of the Father. Okay. They come from the four countries, from the end of heaven, even the Yahshua, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. All right? So now this is a prophecy here where George Washington saw in vision, a vision he had of a great cloud and throne itself coming from the east. It came from Africa. Right, here it is here in Isaiah 12:5. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Yahshua and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Okay, so now here we have a prophecy here. Let's read verse 4 again. Let's read verse 3 again of Isaiah 13. I have commanded my sanctified one. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. Okay. For the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of the nation. Gathered together, the Yahshua, the host, mushers the host of the battle. Okay, now, they come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Yahshua, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. How ye, for the day of the Yahshua at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. So now this is Yahshua doing what the enemy tried to do in George Washington's dream. The enemy came from Africa. He covered this whole land of the United States to destroy it. But there was a great battle took place. And the people rose up and resisted the good people of the land, and they defeated the enemy that came from the east. And so here's Yahshua now mustering the host of battle, the right hand of Yahweh, and he's bringing a great multitude to destroy the wicked. Okay? Well, that's Isaiah 12, verse 7. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Yahshua, of the Yahweh cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now, all you have to do is fast forward to Isaiah chapter 24, and it says, verse 1, Behold, the Yahweh maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Yahshua has spoken his word, this word. So, what land is it? This is the land of America. This is the land of America. Because it says he comes from a far country. And this prophecy is being fulfilled here in America. So we have to address it that way. Okay. So now, let's go back to Isaiah 13 and pick up verse 10. For the stars of the heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going down. And the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold. What does he mean by that? My chosen leader. My prophet. With inspiration. I'm going to make him more precious than fine gold. Even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Yeshua of the host, and in the day of his fierce anger. Haggai 2:6 gives us a little insight on that as well. We might try to turn to that. It says, for thus saith the Yahshua of the host. This is talking about the Son speaking. Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Okay, now, Joel chapter 3, verse 16, talks about this. It says, the Yahshua also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Yahshua will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Then Jeremiah 25:30 talks about this. Let's see what that has to say. It says that, therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Yahshua shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 31, Jeremiah 25. And Noah shall come even unto the ends of the earth. For the Yahweh hath a controversy with the nation. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked unto the sword, saith the Yahweh. Thus saith Yahshua of the host. Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth, and the slain of the Yahshua shall be, or the Yahweh shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, nor gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. How are you shepherds, verse 34, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, you principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersion are accomplished, and you shall fall like a pleasant vessel, and the shepherds shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherd and a howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Yahweh has spoiled their pasture, and the peaceful habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Yahweh. The fierce anger of the Yahshua, for he has forsaken his covert as the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppression and because of his fierce anger. Okay. All right, let's go back now to Isaiah 13, verse 13. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Yahshua the host, and in the day of his fierce anger. Verse 14. And it shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn unto his own people, and flee every one into his own land. Okay, what does that tell you? We had many people come from all over the world, come into this land to take possession of it. All the nationalities, ethnic groups, yes. But when Yahshua gets through gathering the remnant of all these nations that have been brought into this land, then he says that verse 14 of Isaiah 13 is going to be fulfilled. And it shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up, they shall every man turn unto his own people, and flee every one into his own land. Verse 15 of Isaiah 13. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. Okay, now who are the Medes today? They're Donald Trump Incorporated. For his vice president, it represents the Medes. Donald Trump represents the Persians, okay, the Medes and the Persians, okay, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. But Donald Trump also represents the Medes, because the Medes is his army, and he's the king over the army of the Medes and the Persians today. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children, and Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' ecstasy shall be as when Elohim overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. The wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of the doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Okay, that ends Isaiah chapter 13. Let's go on into chapter 14 of Isaiah, verse 1. For the Yahweh will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and sit them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Yahweh for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captive, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Yahweh shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Yahweh hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Okay, what is it? What does scepter mean? It's another name for rod. Okay. Verse 6, Isaiah 14. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindered. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir tree rejoiceth thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no fellow shall against thee. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their throne all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread unto thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down into the ground, which did weaken the nation? Okay. This is a direct prophecy to our past President Obama. This is talking about him as the incarnate of Satan. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the highest of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, unto the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall nearly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prison, his prison? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. that thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, and that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will raise up against them, saith the Yahshua of the host, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Yahshua, or the Yahweh. I will also make it a possession for the bittering and pools of the water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Yahweh of the Yahshua of the host. The Yahweh, Yahshua the host, has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountain tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Yahshua the host has purpose, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died was this burden: rejoice not the whole of Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a five-flying serpent. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestinian, or dissolve, for there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed time. What shall one then answer the messenger of the nation, that the Yahshua hath found a Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it? Okay, Isaiah chapter 15, verse 1. The burden of Moab, because in the night Ar of Moab is laid waste and brought to Sodom, because in the night Kir of Moab is laid waste and brought to Sodom. He has gone up to Bajith, and to Dibon, the high places, to weep. Moab shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba. On all their heads shall be baldness, and every beard cut off. And every beard cut off. Jeremiah 48:37 says something about the beard, I guess. 48:37. Let's look at that. It says that, For every head shall be bald, and every beard clipped, upon all the hands shall be cuttings, and upon the loins sackcloth. There shall be lamentation generally upon all the housetops of Moab, and in the streets thereof, for I have spoken Moab like a vessel wherein is no pleasure, saith Yahweh. Verse 4, Isaiah 15, And Heshbon shall cry, and their voice shall be heard, even unto Jahaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry out, his life shall be grievous unto him. My heart shall cry out for Moab, his fugitives shall flee unto Zoar. And Hepher of 3 years old, for by the morning mounting up of Luhith, with weeping shall they go it up. For in the way of Hor-Anaim they shall raise up a cry of destruction, for the waters of Nimrim shall be desolate, for the hay is withered away, the grass fadeth, there is no green thing. Therefore the abundance have gotten, and that which they have laid up shall they carry away to the brook of the willows. For the cry is gone round about the borders of Moab, the howling thereof unto Eglim, and the howling thereof unto Beralim. For the waters of Dimon shall be full of blood, for I will bring upon Dimon lions upon him that escapes the Moab, and upon the remnant of the land. This ends Isaiah chapter 15, and it also ends our sermon for the day. We'll close now with a song.
Sing heaven, this lover of Yahshua, sing his mercy and his grace. In the nations, bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Yahshua, we'll say, ain't that the victory? While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Yahshua, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of heaven glory will the toil of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Yahshua, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the cross before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all